This is a replay of the Thursday night, January 23rd, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, the law of unintended consequences. Yeah, this certainly came out in a survey that Howdy.com did recently. Howdy.com is actually employment. They specialize in nearshore talent, meaning they bring Latin American workers to America. But that's what they do. But they also do a lot of surveys. And it's interesting what some of the results are. The most recent was 1,000 workers, 1,000 hiring managers across the United States to poll them on job satisfaction, whether they were pursuing the career of their dreams and other things of that nature. Now, what was interesting in the survey, when it came to workers, 43% of those surveys said they would quit and start their own business if they didn't need the health insurance, which is really interesting that what was once touted primarily as a major benefit is turning out to cause people not to be able to move around and stuff like that. Now, it's interesting that then when asked about why are people in their jobs, only 25% cited health insurance being the number one reason. 52% said stability. In other words, they were afraid to go it alone. 50% said it was the salary, which ties into stability, obviously. 34% said it was the job market. But if health insurance weren't an issue, yeah, clearly 43% of them would leave. And with that in mind, would they really? Well, you know, again, that's hard to say. But what I found interesting about, well, the whole survey was interesting to me as well, because when they asked the hiring managers, what's the biggest obstacle to hiring more workers? Well, 34% said it was a budget or a salary, and 12% said it was benefits like health insurance. But 31%, the majority actually, said that they can't find qualified hires. So that is fascinating as well. Then I didn't realize that nearly half of all workers, salaried employees, also are working freelance. They have some side hustle of some sort or other. And many of them, in fact, 75% of them say they wish they could do it all that way, project-based employment. But, of course, they don't do it because of the instability of finances and no benefits. They love it because of the flexibility and the portability and all that kind of stuff. But by and large, I think it ties into that most people are going to opt for what they consider to be secure, rather maybe than following their dreams. But I did think it was interesting that 43% said they'd leave if it weren't for that health insurance benefit. Okay, so as you know, historically speaking, health insurance got tied to employment during the wage and price controls after World War II. And what happened was a competitor who wanted to hire your good worker away could offer them more money, but you couldn't give them a raise. So what happened then is you could give them benefits. And that's what started the whole thing rolling. And today it absolutely hamstrings some people. So there, I don't have an answer, but I thought you might like the survey. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Ruth and Gurnee, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, good evening, Raleigh. And starting off with a trendy fad in Japan, to put something in a refrigerator that supposedly would not be a item like for consumption. So I am doing a ceramic black cat that waves with a dragon, with spring roll wrappers, blue dragon. Let the good luck roll, because the black cat that waves animated means good luck. So for Chinese New Year's, I have ordered and sent it out to a couple of locations, a dancing broom that operates by batteries, has music and dances, and that's sweeping away bad luck along with the dancing dragons and lions.
Well, very good.
And then I have children's books that I've been working on, and so a couple of them that I'm going to mention, I've mentioned once before, Fortune Cookie Queen, and the other one is The Cat's Pajamas. This one's got some illustrations already from costumes that I've put together, and I absolutely love the four costumes that are associated juxtaposition as actual pajamas, cat's pajamas. And it's unique. And the costumes are unique, and one of them I got from Halloween, from Aldi's, Halloween costumes, and then a great big huge head, black cat, $5, was at Walmart, and a couple of Christmas cats costumes.
All right.
And the latest one, the fourth one, but any questions you want to ask?
Well, no, I too many things at once. Let's go back to several things. Firstly, the idea of putting strange things in the refrigerator is a TikTok challenge. And so you see, you're with it of the latest thing. So fridgescaping, they call it, where people are decorating their fridges and all that. Now for me, just when I was a kid, I wanted to have people think my adopted grandmother was crazy, so I'd put her knitting in the freezer, and it worked pretty well. But in any event, the other thing you mentioned was the Chinese New Year. And this is the Chinese New Year coming up on the new moon, as you know, of the 29th, and this year will be the year of the snake. And the snake is wise and intense, with a tendency toward physical beauty. And they're vain, they have a fiery temperament. There are different meanings for different part of Chinese culture, some believing the snake is a strong protector, others believe it's an untrustworthy snake. And you can look for the chicken or the ox if you are a snake. The pig is your enemy. Snakes are 1941, 53, 65, 77, 89, 2001, 2013, and 2025.
Well, it's not me. I'm not born in the year of the snake, and that's why I want my broom that's going to do a clean sweep.
Well, it'll be sweeping out the dragon and bringing in the snake.
Well, I'm going to bring in good luck.
All right.
I'm cleaning out the snake. All right.
Very good.
So you added to it with your information.
Yes.
That was really absolutely, and so happy New Year again. But I won't be doing much with Chinese food. I'm still working on our regular old-fashioned New Year's.
Oh,
okay,
good.
Raleigh, that's it for good night.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Zippity-doo-wop.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So I looked up all the animals as far as that goes, and we're getting rid of the dragons. Now, by the way, I don't know how 2023 was for you. Not that great for a lot of people, but that was the year of the rabbit. And the rabbit is the luckiest of all signs in the Chinese calendar. Talented, articulate, affectionate, and shy. It sounds like we're doing the MBTI characteristics. Clever sign of the Chinese zodiac, seeks peace throughout life. Jade Rabbit is the main character in the story of the Mid-Autumn Moon Festival. They are compatible with sheep or pigs, but they are opposite of chickens. So there you have it. So yes, it'll be a snake Chinese New Year this year, and so that celebration will come on the new moon, because that's the way it works. So this year that will be Wednesday, January 29th, And I believe that 6:35 a.m. in the morning is the new moon. So I don't know whether most celebrations will be Tuesday night or Wednesday night, but there will be some big ones in Chinatowns throughout the country, San Francisco, no doubt. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And that takes us to Cindy, and Cindy is in Chicago. All right, Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Tell you my request first, but then anyhow, the one request, Brown Eyed Dancing Man, was that a Buddy Holly song?
No, it's Brown Eyed Handsome Man, and that's Chuck Berry. Brown Eyed Handsome Man.
I guess I get the lyrics mixed up sometimes. I can't understand that what they're saying. Okay, yeah, I thought it was Brown Eyed Dancing Man.
No. Don't. Did you listen to the rest of the lyrics? Yeah.
I guess I'll listen to them if you play it. But then anyhow, and then it's like a dream come true. Like you wait for this, like a stock trader waits for this. J.M. Smucker. Coke isn't all the way down to the basement. That's never going to go all the way down to the basement. But that's way down, and Hershey's is way down like $100 a share it is. Mm. So I bought 12 shares of Hershey, 10 shares of Coke, and 10 shares of J.M. Smucker.
This would be much more interesting if they send you the Coke and the Hershey bars.
You know what? I bought sugar-free Hershey's, the morsels. Well, I'm a diabetic, and I made my own chocolate with it. There's still some left. I made it twice. I made it at Christmas time.
Okay.
And I made it again. I melted the chocolate in the microwave. I put coconut, walnuts, and raisins.
Okay.
But then anyhow, and then my other request is, I don't know if you would play it. It's, I'm playing it for my cousin that lives with me. He would just be homeless if he didn't live with me. He's a retired electrical engineer.
What's the song?
Reach Out, I'll Be There by the Four Tops.
I'll play that next week for you. You betcha. And I'll play you Brown-Eyed Handsome Man. Yeah. Way back in history, 3,000 years back, ever since time began, been a whole lot of good woman shedding tears for a brown-eyed handsome man. That's what the trouble was, a brown-eyed handsome man. So that's what you want. And it's Chuck Berry. All right. Good deal.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. All right. So we'll play that next week as well. Yeah. Flying across the country in a TWA, saw a woman walking close to the sand. They've been walking 30 miles en route to L.A. to get a brown-eyed handsome man. Yeah, the destination was a brown-eyed handsome man. Yeah, he's not dancing. He's handsome. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Speaking of requests, Eduardo had one, and we'll play it next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was Eduardo's Request, Rockwell, Change Your Ways, 1984 on Motown. It's from the album Somebody's Watching Me. And Rockwell, of course, Berry Gordy's son. Berry Gordy had 8 children with 6 different women. And he was married to 3 women, and one of the marriages produced no children. So, but that second marriage to Raynoma, that's when he had mistresses, and they wound up having. Gina Jackson was the first mistress. That was Sherry Gordy, born in 1963. And by the way, Raynoma and he did have a child. That was before they married in 1959. That was Carrie Gordy. I think he was still married to Thelma Coleman at the time. But anyway, then after that, his mistress was Margaret Norton, and that's when they had Kennedy William Gordy, named after JFK and Smokey Robinson, 1964, and that's who Rockwell is, and that's who he became. Interesting guy. He did not want to tread on his father's legacy, if you will. He wanted to record. He initially sent demos not under his own name. Initially, Berry Gordy rejected them, not even knowing who he was. Ultimately, though, of course, he got on the label, and Berry did know who he was. And he was very, very proud of that 1984 effort. So that's the deal there. Yes, it's a blooming family tree, to say the least. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh, got a couple more of your requests, and whatever's on your mind will be on mine tonight. Yes, other than the Chinese New Year. But we'll see what else we can come up with. Hopefully your calls on WGN Radio.
I never fell in love till I found you. So how was I to know what love could do? I thought I could control my heart and make or break the rules. I even thought that love was just for sentimental fools. But now I'm in love, and I know so well a heart can break in two if you break the spell. Though other kisses thrilled me, I touched your lips at all at once. I knew I never fell in love until I fell in love with you. But now I'm in love, and I know so well a heart can break in two if you break the spell.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and you're saying, what is that? All right, that's Sergio Franchi. I got an email from Johnny D, and he said, would you play Mario Lanza or Sergio Franchi? Well, Mario Lanza was out. I've done that before, but, you know, if you like opera, you like Mario. I don't. All right, so Sergio Franchi, I thought, well, there's one I would play, so I hope that Johnny D heard it, because I think it's the only one I'd ever play. But he was an interesting guy. In some ways, you know, the definition of lounge lizard, although he was much more than that. He was Italian, obviously. But when he was about 21, his family moved to Johannesburg. His father had befriended someone after World War II who was from South Africa, who convinced him that was the land of riches. And so down they went. And so Sergio was working there. He got married there, actually. And he started a career. He came to America in about 1962. And he was probably the most seen guest on the Ed Sullivan Show. I mean, like 24 appearances. I'm not sure why Ed loved him, but he did. And he would pair him very often with the Kessler twins. And the Kessler twins were sort of like the King sisters, if there'd only be 2 of them, and they were from Germany. All right, well, the Kessler twins were from Germany, and they were from Germany, but I believe that they appeared on the cover of the Italian version of Playboy at some point. Not the centerfolds, the cover. But anyway, I digress. But so Sergio went on to quite a career. I remember when I'd drive by the Eden Rock in Miami, Miami Beach. This would be, you know, 60s, early 60s. The bill would be like Sergio Franchi and Barbara Streisand. And they were both equally known at the time, I would say. But then shortly after that, he went to Las Vegas. And he was an opening act for somebody. I'm trying to think, was Bob Newhart? I can't remember now, but he was an opening act for a comic, and it really went over well. And it was the Sahara. It was at the Sahara. I'm pretty sure it was Bob Newhart. But anyhow, that was pretty big. And he also kept interspersing, you know, tours in Europe and things about of that nature. And he was opening act for people like Juliet Prowse at Coconut Grove and all of that kind of stuff. Time magazine saw him at the Sahara and did a big feature on him. And he was in the Chicagoland Music Festival, yeah, and all that. And he was in some movies as well as far as that goes. And ultimately, he bought some land in Stonington, Connecticut, a big piece of land with a lot of houses, and he was kind of bringing his extended family there and all that kind of stuff. By that time, he and the South African woman had gotten divorced. He was married to somebody else. Eva, I think, was her name, but I don't remember. And yeah, one way or another. But sadly, he had been planning a trip to China, and it never materialized because this was like 1982, 1983. The deal was that he was diagnosed with brain cancer, and that was it. So I think his last TV appearance was live with Regis and Kathy. But anyway, that's the deal. A lot of philanthropy and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think you'll be hearing any more Sergio Franchi. But hopefully Johnny D heard it, because one and done. However, all those Ed Sullivan shows, you can see that on YouTube. I'm pretty sure they are all there. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. I get a lot of pitches for different things, whether it's publicists wanting to have, you know, authors on the air, things of that nature, or psychics or whatever, whether it's people wanting you to carry syndicated radio shows. And just today, high noon, across my desk, I can have Cousin Brucey on my radio station. And I thought to myself, well, if you're in New York, Cousin Brucey is an icon of sorts. If you're anywhere else, if it isn't a WTF moment when you hear this guy, I can't imagine. So I'm going to pass on the unparalleled success that Cousin Brucey could bring me. All right, so you never know. 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. I hope it's not going to be a slow night, but believe me, I'll find things to talk with you about, and I'll play a request, too. In fact, this next one that we're going to hear is, because I played last night the Midnighters version of That's All, and Brian and Seneca said you had to play the Nat King Cole version. And I believe it was Brian who said, I got a trivia question for you, when we ran out of time. I was like, call back Thursday night. So I doubt I'll know it, but I'd love to hear from him, and you too, on WGN Radio.
I can only give you love that lasts forever, and the promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own for you and you alone, that's all, that's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall, and a love whose burning light will warm the winter night. That's all, that's all. There are those, I am sure, who have told you they would give you the world for a toy. All I have are these arms to enfold you, and a love time can never destroy. If you're wondering what I'm asking in return, dear, you
You'll be glad to know that my demands are small. Say it's me that you'll adore, for now and evermore. That's all. That's all.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there it is, that's all. 1953 on Capitol, that was the first version, and a wonderful one it was. But I thought, when I was playing that, I thought, you know, there's my all-time favorite Nat King Cole song would not be That's All, that's number two on my list, but That Sunday, That Summer. And it was Jim who said, you can play your favorite records and say they're for me. So I'll be playing That Sunday, That Summer tonight. But before we get to Jim, and we will get to Jim, Sergeant Pappy is in Gary. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
How you doing there, Doo-Wop After Dark Lady?
Yeah, I'm fine. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm trying to get along, you know, trying to stay warm here in this cold weather. But other than that, ain't nothing unusual going on, you know.
Yeah, it's
I just take it day by day, you know. I'm one of those people, if I can't control something, I don't worry about it.
Exactly.
That's just the way I am. That's why I think that's why I've lived as long as I have so far, because if I don't worry, if I can't do something about something, I don't worry about it. I don't let it get to me.
Good for you. All right, so you got some requests for me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, your regular listeners are probably getting tired of old Sergeant Patrick with all this doo-wop stuff, though.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm sitting here next to a big stack of the golden era of doo-wop, whether it's Parrot Records or Holiday or Fury, or I've got them all, so believe me. Vita, okay. Herald, Part 1 and 2.
All right.
Rainbow.
Yeah, sounds good, because, you know, I just absolutely adore my doo-wop, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Okay, Why Do You Have to Go by the Dell?
Wonderful record.
I Won't Be the Fool Anymore by the Heartbeat.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. One of my all-time faves.
And Let's Kiss and Make Up, Love Me by the Royal Jesters.
Okay, absolutely.
And finally, one of my favorite groups, Sincerely by the Moonglows.
Okay, you betcha.
And that's it. I got a quad for you there, four of them.
I like it. You'll hear them next week, all of them.
Okay, sounds good there, young lady.
Thanks.
You have a wonderful weekend, and try to stay warm and tell John to hang in there too, buddy.
Yeah, you betcha. Thanks, appreciate it. All right.
Okay, so Raleigh, you take care now.
You too. It's cold everywhere right now, and you know, I got no room to complain, because you know, cold in central Arizona is nothing like Chicago. Though, as I say, for those of you jealous of me now, turnabout will be fair play when the summer comes. It'll be 122 here while it's a balmy 75 and nice. So yeah, I got that. But yeah, stay warm. That is the name of the game. Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
My back is worse than ever.
No. Oh, God. But, yeah, I was wondering. So now, but it's just the back. You kind of strained it outside yesterday.
No, I that's when I fell on Tuesday morning.
Oh, that was Tuesday. But oh, wow.
Tuesday morning, that's when I fell.
Oh,
I and thought, it's been ooh. Bad ever since.
Ooh.
And shopping tomorrow is going to be a chore.
Yes, it will.
But I wanted to tell you, I called John last night because I was listening to James on the South Side, and everything went dead.
Really?
And I called up John, and I said, tell Raleigh that the signal's lost. And he goes, they're having trouble. But,
oh, no, you know, that that wasn't that. What happened was I went to break, but Adam at Master Control at WGN couldn't go to break because it turns out someone in traffic at WGN forgot to load the logs for the day. So after the midnight hour, when it rolled around, there was nothing he could do. It was just locked up tight.
Right. But it turned out that I looked on my phone and went to settings, and it said no internet connection. And that's what happened.
Oh, well, that's simultaneous. No, we had plenty of internet connection at our end, but I wonder why you didn't at yours.
Because I have U.S. Cellular, and I have the router, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so then I played with it till 2 a.m., and I couldn't get it to work because I use Siri for everything, and even to check on the weather, to whether to turn the heater on in the bathroom. So then I had to get up early and waited for 8 o'clock, and then I called U.S. Cellular, and you talk about frustration. So I call up, I ask for the home internet,
right?
And she comes on, and she said, go over there and then unplug it for 30 seconds.
Right, exactly. Recycle and it.
And I'm telling these people over and over again, I'm visually impaired. Well, I pulled it out of the back of the thing. I couldn't find a hole to put the thing back in. So she's getting frustrated. You know, it's going on 45 seconds. And, I'm upset. I can't find the hole. So she goes, put your finger on the back and count over, and then you'll see where it is, you know, how many over. And I did, and I plugged it in.
Right.
And she says, how's it doing now? Nothing's changed. Still says no internet.
Right.
So then she, after three or four tries, I'm going to give you the technician. And that was a royal joke. I was almost in tears. So the guy goes, James, here's what I want you to do. And I unplugged it for 30 seconds. Luckily, I knew where to plug it back in.
Right.
And nothing was happening. And then he goes, what color is on top?
What do you know?
Sir, I said, sir, if it's not white, I can't see the colors. I'm visually impaired. He says, well, what you got to do is you got to go on in settings and go forget this network. And then when yours comes up, hit it. Then you got to put the password in. I said, I can't see the keyboard. He goes, well, when you get that done, let me know. So I took my old cell phone and put the magnifier on there, and I counted on, how many letters over and then hit that letter. And then I went to the next one and counted and hit that letter. And it's 10, characters. And I was almost in tears because I was so frustrated. I couldn't get it done. And then three numbers. And then he kept coming. Have you got it done yet?
No.
I go, sir, I'm visually impaired, and I'm trying. And then he comes, they leave, and he comes back on. He goes, are you done yet?
No.
Then finally, I was so happy that I didn't hit any of the wrong letters.
Yeah.
And I got it. Kicked in.
Yeah.
And it worked. And then he goes, okay, stay, can I help you with anything else? I go, no. And I was so frustrated with him,
Yeah.
And you could hear so many people in the background. It was like he was in a party,
Right.
So I think it's, it's not the USL, your office. I'll put it to you that way.
Well,
anyway.
Probably work at home people. Which is not unusual. But see, this is why I keep staying on you, that you're going to have to become familiar with all the accessible tools, because you're going to need to be able to do this on your own.
Right. And then, he goes, well, stay on the line, and the survey's going to come up.
Oh, you're right.
You'll ask you for tens and fives. So I go, oh, okay. Make sure you take care of me, he says.
Yeah, wrong.
So then I go to hang up. You can't hang up. I kept hitting the hang up button, and I couldn't hang up. So then I go, I'll fix them. So then I turn my phone off.
Okay, there you go.
And I turned my phone back on, and it was gone.
Sure was.
I wasn't going to take his survey.
No. No, absolutely.
So because I wasn't treated under others like they under me, and that wasn't what he was doing.
Yeah, well, no, you were actually a good guy. Most people would have taken the survey and blasted him to Kingdom Come.
Right, but I didn't, I was more frustrated that they wouldn't let me hang up.
Right. Well, that's the automated system, of course. Yeah, the sad thing is that if you had been able to have some visual aids there, you could have done this yourself last night. But but there's no way you could have because, you couldn't see it. But yeah, absolutely. Tactile is your friend. Like when you take something out, like a plug or whatever, always feel for where that goes. Always.
Right.
Because I have that too with small things, and I make sure that tactily I know exactly where things go.
Right. And then it was just like I said, I went to bed, and I mean, I rested the day. I was just so frustrated because I didn't like the way he was treating me,
Oh, I can understand that. Yeah. Well, sadly.
And,
They're close to minimum wage people, probably working from home. He's not worth your angst. Just let it go.
Right. Right. And like I said, I want to get those devices that you're talking about, but we haven't, hasn't had time to take me to Milwaukee. Right.
Well, you will. You'll get all sorts of things. And what I really want is you to get to the point where you are accessible on that computer to where everything is working for you that way, because that's going to be a world of difference.
I don't have a computer. All I have is my 13-year-old iPad and my cell phone.
Well, your iPad, sadly. But even with your iPad, maybe it's time to be thinking about a laptop.
Right, and I have a Dell laptop that's like 20 years old.
Right, that's not going to help you.
I looked at the keyboard with the magnifier. The whole top row is vowels. And then the rest are the consonants and stuff.
I don't know what it is, but it's a boat anchor. Sadly, when you're talking about anything computer that's 20 years old, no, it's out of the picture, I'm sorry to say.
Right, and let's just say it was a hardly used laptop.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And there's no X's for you to close on a picture.
Yeah.
You have to hit Control-Alt-Delete.
Well, Control-Alt-Delete is pretty wonderful, but that'll send you to Task Manager. You'll be closing a lot more than you want to.
Right, but I found the Control and the Alt, but I can't find the Delete button.
Oh, well, that's very easy to find. But when you're talking about PCs, you know, Windows-based things, there are very cheap laptops out there that would be modern enough. But I just want it to the point where everything is accessible for you.
I want to get one of those ones that you see on TV that they look like they're a television monitor. They're really big screens.
Well, the day is going to come probably when you're not able to see that screen. So that's why before that day comes, I want you to have the accessibility where you're able to interact with it on voice commands completely. And I don't mean just Siri, you know, where you have no trouble having things read out and all that.
Right. And when you put in passwords on this Apple phone, that they won't let you use the speak text.
Right.
You have to punch it in.
Right.
So I thank you for playing that song.
Oh, yeah.
And I want you to know that any time that you don't have anything to play, you can play something and say it from me.
All right. Well, I think I will next. My Nat King Cole, That Sunday, That Summer. That'll be from you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
You and John, have a nice weekend.
All right. You too. Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, I'm not good with the phones either. What I do is I use a Bluetooth keyboard. I don't try to type anything onto a phone. That would be an exercise in futility. But there's a lot of Bluetooth keyboards, and you can get them with large keys and all that kind of stuff, and set it up so that it'll work. And you know, once you kind of have your accessibility things together and functioning, it's just such a pleasure. Now, I recognize getting to that point, the learning curve on virtually everything, I don't care what it is just a bitch. But if you wade through it and you get to the point where it becomes second nature, it's just a godsend. So, maybe that's what we need to get Jim next, is a nice big keyboard for that phone. All right, so we'll talk to, we got Robert in Stickney. He's got some requests. Debbie in Raleigh. Oh, she's going to talk about computers for those who can't see them. Excellent. I'm looking forward to that discussion. And I will play That Sunday, That Summer next, just for me, on WGN Radio.
If I had to choose just one day,
if I had to choose just one day to last my whole life through, it would surely be that Sunday, the day that I met you. Newborn whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was a-coming in, but fast. Lots of daffodils were showing off their skills. Nodding all together, I could almost hear them whisper, go on, kiss her, go on and kiss her. If I had to choose one moment to live within my heart, it would be that tender moment, recalling how we started. Darling, it would be when you smiled at me that way, that Sunday, that summer.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Takes me right back to 1963. And yeah, Nat King Cole, that Sunday, that summer on Capitol. So we'll say that's from Jim to me, because that's one of my faves, that's for sure. All right, so 888-876-5593. All right, so Robert from Stickney, that is who we were talking with last night at the end of the show about trivia. I doubt I'll know it, but go for it.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a couple of, like, way back about the mid to late 50s, a couple of requests for next week. Let's see here. The first one is Teenage Crush by Tommy Sands.
Oh, God. Maybe.
Oh, boy. And, okay. And another one, I can't think of the name of the singer, but I'm So Close to Kathy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Okay. I may play Close to Kathy for you.
Oh, okay.
I may do that. It's a toss up. God knows it's on this computer, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. These songs just pop, you know, all of a sudden they pop into my head, you know, because of the long term memory and remember things. But yeah.
Right. And bad memory coming back. I understand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, these songs are not very good, but that's all right. I might play that. Tommy Sands. It's and by the way, the singer on Close to Kathy is Mike Clifford.
Mike Clifford. Okay. Yeah.
Close to Kathy, 1962. Yeah, I'm so close to Kathy. Yeah. I know just what she's dreaming of. She always calls me up to tell me every time she falls in love. Oh man. All right.
Right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I know it's just a simple little one, but I don't know.
No, that's fine. I probably will play that. I doubt I'll play Teenage Crush.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, Raleigh.
Good deal. Thanks for calling. Yeah. Interestingly, Close to Kathy has somewhat of a pedigree. Lieber Stoller produced that. Yeah, shame on them. All right, now Brian and Seneca. All right, Brian, welcome back to WGN Radio.
And it's a pleasure to be back. Raleigh, and you found your trivia question, but I found a trivia question to your unintentional challenge, if you're willing to answer.
I don't know. Let's have it.
Okay, believe it or not, this could be musical in kind of a sort of way. I'll just go ahead and ask it. In the state of Louisiana, the Sunshine Bridge was built in 1964 to cross the Mississippi River in the great state of Louisiana.
Yeah.
Why was that bridge named the Sunshine Bridge?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. Let me think about it.
I'll give you a worthless hint.
I know it's a cantilever bridge, and you're talking about, that's by Baton Rouge, right? Yeah.
Yes, it carries Louisiana Highway 70 now.
Right. And now you hear it on the news all the time because they use it for storm evacuation. But I don't know, why was it called the,
My worthless clue wasn't any good for you.
Well, give me the clue again.
The worthless clue is Nat King Cole covered it.
Oh, God. That's interesting. And who's in the background? Who's in the background?
His name is Tex, and he's always asking for dinner, even when dinner is overflowing from his plate.
Oh, okay. He should meet Mr. Chubbs. Yeah. But all right. So why was it named the Sunshine Bridge?
Because the governor at that time, who was very active in seeing the bridge...
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. You said governor. I know what this answer is. Now we're talking about Jimmy Davis. Oh, God.
Exactly.
All right, so...
And the originator of You Are My Sunshine.
Sunshine. He wrote it. He wrote it. Yeah, as soon as you said governor, Governor Jimmy Davis wrote You Are My Sunshine. So, well, I guess it's better than naming it after Jimmy, just saying it's the Jimmy Davis Bridge. I guess Sunshine will have to do.
Yeah, well, it stuck around a little bit better for him than Huey P. Long. And in fact, Huey P. Long already had two bridges named for him. So Jimmy Davis decided he wanted to do things just a little bit different.
That's great. So there you have it, the Sunshine Bridge, and it stands to this day. It did have some run-ins, though, as I recall. So, and it's funny because if you remember, they called it the Bridge to Nowhere, and it was just ridiculous. And
yeah, they were so busy building the bridge, they forgot to tie highways into it.
Right, and then there was
build
that
the bridge, and they could come.
There was a barge that collided with it in about 2018 or so now, and that was closed for a long time. So, yeah, I think they had to go to Gramercy Bridge or somewhere else. But in any event, yes, the Bridge to Nowhere, the Sunshine Bridge. All right, now we know. I won't forget.
Oh, yeah, and the big part about You Are My Sunshine is he leveraged that to build his name so he ultimately could get elected to the governor's mansion.
Well, this man named everything Sunshine. If you remember, he rode a horse to the governor's office, and the horse was named Sunshine. All right. Well, very good information. I will try not to forget it. But as soon as you said governor, it was all over. Okay.
Yeah, right. That'd be kind of a giveaway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, good deal. Thanks for calling.
Same here. You have a good night.
You too. All right. Yes. Well, you know, I mean, Louisiana has nothing if not colorful politicians. And that really continues to the present. Yeah. They can be relied upon to be, well, eyebrow raising, to say the least. Debbie and Raleigh, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, I originally wanted to call and ask you about who wrote the song Old Dolphin Short and Watermelon Wine, but I guess I'll
Tom T. Hall. Tom T. Hall.
No, I know he sang it, but I didn't know if he wrote it.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
I like 20 songs like that.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he did not write it, but I will try to look.
You're probably right, but you know, it's just a song that I sing karaoke sometimes.
Mm.
But anyway, as far as Jim goes, I have so many resources that I could provide, but one of the ones that comes to mind is called Computers for the Blind, and they take computers and refurbish them, and I think the sales price is around $25. I'm not certain of that, but you know, they're probably not, you know, maybe not Windows 11, but I'm sure.
Well, hell, that's fine, you know.
and anything at this point would help, and it would serve as a backup. And, I mean, granted, there's a learning curve getting used to, you know, this whatever software they put on there for speech, whether it's JAWS or NVDA or just two or three more.
Now, so do they have Computers for the Blind? Is that the website, computersfortheblind.org?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Is it .org?
I'm pretty sure that I'm not certain about that, but because I didn't have time to look it up. I didn't want to take the time to look it up between waiting to talk to you and now. But
okay, it is. It is. Computers for, it is just like it sounds, computersfortheblind.org. And right on the homepage, you can get a computer, and it will give you the information in terms of that. And it's pretty good configuration as far as that goes. I'm looking at.
There's so many things that he can take advantage of.
Yeah,
really.
And I'm downloading the pricing guide right now. And by the way, they do on all of them have Windows 11.
I know, like on the Chromebook, it even had. one of them, I don't know which one, but it had, when you turned it on, it said, do you want to use speech? And of course, I checked that.
Yeah.
Stupid, the Chromebook got to where it wouldn't even come on, so I don't know what happened to that, but I had to trash that one. But, you know, we're getting there with people realizing that, you know, some of us do need some kind of speech or,
right,
you know,
right,
what have
and
you.
Anything that can be done to lessen that learning curve, because I know for a lot of people that's the hesitation.
And I know Be My AI is also on the iPhone.
Okay.
And it will scan. You connect your phone to their site, and the camera on your phone will look at whatever you need, and it will it won't read it back perfectly, but at least when you get your mail, you'll know if it's a bill from Spectrum or God forbid. Or
I hope it's not Spectrum. Oh, you poor
know,
people.
That's my cuss word of the day.
Oh man, yeah. All you have to do is say Spectrum. Don't start me. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. No, I know. I'm sorry, it slipped out. But
you wait a minute.
Word.
You live in a community that that is your broadband by
not
cable.
Not now, thank
to,
God. Oh, no, right. No, I've got AT&T for my internet. Service.
All right.
But AT&T has a...
Are you getting UVerse?
Yeah, AT&T has people that will help you that
yeah.
are totally dedicated. I mean, I've had them spend an hour with me.
Good.
Where I share the screen, and, you know, we've gotten it resolved. So,
good.
You know, I don't necessarily like their pricing, but I can live with that.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Be My AI is a great resource.
Right.
And he can get a scanner hooked up to the computer and scan the documents with software.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many workarounds, you know.
Yes, there are. And that's why I'm on him right now while he still has a percentage of vision left to say, set yourself up. You know, I mean.
That's right. You know, I mean, it's easy to feel sorry for yourself. I've done it. I'm still doing it in some cases. But, you know, the best thing to do when you're down is to seek options.
Absolutely. Yeah. And do it now rather than
don't
later.
Don't wait until
right.
you have to
right.
do it before you need to. I
right.
don't know what else to say.
Yeah,
anyway,
I agree with you 100%. Absolutely. All right. Always good to hear from you.
I need to get on this kick.
Yeah.
But listen, thanks a lot, and I love your show.
Great to have you. Call me again soon, Debbie.
Okay.
Thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593. Oh, I got Jeffrey and Alice up at Dinosaurs. Rita in Harwood Heights, we got requests, and I want to talk to her about one of her requests, actually. And Eduardo in Tampa, safe deposit boxes, okay? And more coming up on WGN Radio.
Darling, you send me. Honest you do, oh, you thrill me. I know you thrill me. Darling, you thrill me. Honest you do. At first I thought it was infatuation, but it's lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. Whoa, you send me. I know you send me. I know you send me. Honest you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh. That, of course, is Sam Cooke. Why am I playing Sam Cooke other than I do love that record? Is because he would have turned 94 years old yesterday. Man, talk about a life cut too short too soon. I'll tell you what. And 1957 on Keane. That's because Art Rupert's specialty didn't want him recording secular music and certainly not love songs. And so Art Keane said, oh, I'll put that out. And so he did. Now, on his 29th birthday, which would have been on this yesterday anyway, he signed with RCA, and they gave him a big money deal. They gave him $100,000 guarantee, which was well over $1 million today. And, of course, as you know, died at the Hacienda Motel in South Figueroa. And to this day in Los Angeles, 33 years old, we'll never get the real deal on that. It certainly wasn't as reported. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And got about a minute before the news. And we're going to spend it with Rita in Harwood Heights. Rita, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm about the same.
Oh.
But I was surprised that there was somebody else from Harwood Heights that called in one day.
Yes, absolutely. We have had multiple Harwood Heights callers.
I'm surprised because I thought myself and the coyotes and raccoons and so forth were the only people awake at this time, except for a few, first responders.
You'd be surprised. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Now, the reason I'm glad you called is because it has on my list that you wanted Isaac Hayes' Hot Buttered Soul. That's an album. There is no cut of Hot Buttered Soul. So do I get to pick one that I like from that album?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
It's a very small album. It's only got four cuts on it. And, by the time I get to Phoenix and Walk On By. But there's something I'm going to play for you that maybe you haven't heard.
Okay. And then I thought, too, if I'm kind of feeling lonely tonight, but the person I really loved had died at the age of 52.
Oh, no.
And I've been thinking a lot of him. And there was a song called You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me.
Mm. Okay.
And then The Way You Look Tonight.
Okay.
And then... Well, you played The Strangers on the Shore. That I really liked.
Yeah,
that.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I definitely will do The Way You Look Tonight. That'll be on Tuesday, because, of course, Monday Night Trivia, but then on Tuesday of next week, I'll be happy to play that. And okay. I don't know, but I'll have to think about You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me. We'll see. But definitely we'll do The Way You Look Tonight.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
When I went to the doctor, I had high hopes in him, but then because of all my allergies to drugs, he had his nurse call me and told me they wanted me to go to the emergency room. They wanted to give me the drugs IV.
Hold on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere, and we'll pick it up right there. That doesn't sound good to me, but we'll find out what's going on in the world at large in WGN Radio News and be back to it on WGN Radio.
Up and down the floor, do little silly things that I've never done before since you've gone. Since you've gone and left me. Oh.
Nolan Strong and the Diablos. Yeah, Nolan, who Smokey Robinson said, if I could sing, I'd be Nolan Strong. Yeah, it would have been 91 yesterday. Born in Scottsboro, Alabama, but grew up in Detroit. Died way too young, 1977, just 43 years old. Rest in peace, Nolan Strong. But boy, he gave us a lot of stuff, including, of course, The Wind. And 1960 on Fortune for Since You're Gone. And all of his good stuff was on Fortune. All right, so now we're talking with Rita in Harwood Heights. I'm back. Are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
I forgot what we were talking about completely.
Oh, well, they told me I got a phone call from the nurse.
Yes,
and she wanted me to go to the emergency room and get these drugs IV.
Let's back up. What on earth did they want you to have IV on?
On the drugs that I'm allergic to.
That's crazy.
And I thought they're out of their mind.
That's crazy time.
Yes, it is. And they said, I said, well, then what's going to happen to me? And they said, well, there'll be somebody there to take care of you, you know, if you have a reaction.
Wait a minute.
It's like they were trying to make me out a liar.
Why would they want to give you these drugs anyway?
I don't know. I was just so upset with them.
Okay.
And finally, I just got to a point after the fourth call that they wanted me to go over to the emergency room and get these drugs. I thought, no. And I decided I pulled rank on them. I said, I'm a nurse, and I used to work ER trauma. I said, there's no way anybody could ever do a one-to-one with me if I'm having a reaction. Well, I was just so upset with them.
Well, I don't blame you, but let me back up here. Now, you went initially to the doctor. What were your complaints? Why were you going to the doctor?
Because of the bladder infection that I've had for about 10 years.
Right. So this is an ongoing thing, and I assume it's not an active UTI. You're not showing with bacteria and all that stuff, correct?
Yeah. Well, yes, because nobody could seem to get it cured because I can't take the medicines for it.
This is... So are you still showing a bacteria profile with it?
Yep.
Okay. And I understand why they're concerned, of course, because UTIs can develop into something very serious. But you've had this chronically now for 10 years. And what they're saying is these are the antibiotics and these are the only antibiotics and that's the only thing that'll work. No, I don't think so. If you know there are drugs that you can't take, and what they're thinking is that you're not allergic to them, but you're just sensitive to them and you'll just have a reaction rather than that you'll code or you'll be in anaphylaxis or something. So, but if you don't want to take them, obviously you are the king of your body. No doctor can make you do anything you don't want to do.
No way. I'm not going to do that.
No, but have you looked at AltMed? Have you looked at alternative providers and things that may be more natural that might help? Now, I'm not saying they will, but have you explored other options?
No, I was trying to find somebody who worked like Dr. Theron Randolph, but I can't find anybody.
Well,
I don't know where. I know some of his, he had a residence there, and I know that some of them went over, I think, to Florida, and one went out to Arizona, and I don't know where the others went, but when his practice broke up, but I don't know.
I wish you could find a naturopath that you liked. There's got to be somebody there, because obviously you can do a lot of things at home, but when you're talking about an actual bacterial infection that's a UTI, you really want somebody to help you. And there's a number of things, like obviously you're drinking copious quantities of water, you know, all of that kind of thing. And you're doing all that. And you're drinking the unsweetened cranberry juice. I'm sure you are.
Right.
And you're taking probiotics and you're probably eating garlic and vitamin C. I'm trying to think of the things off the top of my head that are typical.
Vitamin C and zinc.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, make sure your D levels look good. You've got to find a good naturopath. This is not the kind of thing you're going to be able to do on your own. There's a lot of people who share your problem, but you know, I'm sort of glad you have a bacterial profile on this, because the worst is when somebody has no bacteria and has every UTI symptom in the world, and you know, it can become like interstitial cystitis or things like that, and that they really never ever get to the bottom of it. But if you've got active bacteria, this should you know, should be a help. And there's other things as well. None of them I'm going to mention because, again, you want to be working with somebody, you know, not a disc jockey who talks too much. but there's got to be a good naturopath near you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because the reason I'm saying, you know, naturopaths and things of that is because you're saying, hey, I'm going to reject allopathic answers, which would be your antibiotics.
Yeah.
So let's see. Well, we have a list of them. And, you know, I don't know how good they are, but you've got a bunch of naturopaths in Harwood Heights. So,
really?
Yes, you do. So this is where your computer is going to be your friend.
I have no computer.
Well, then you got to go to the library, I guess.
The library.
Yep. Yeah. You have a phone?
I have a little flip phone.
All right, but...
I don't have a cell phone.
Okay, you're not connected online, period. All right.
No.
Well, there's a number of them who are listed. And obviously you'd want to sit there and kind of go through it and see what some of the recommendations are and what people are saying and all that, but they're there.
Are you saying Harwood Heights?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
And so let's see where we are. How about this woman? Where is she? Is Norwood Park near you? Jefferson Park?
Yes. Right.
Yeah, okay, right. Got him there.
Is part of our village.
Yeah. Nate, how close is Naperville?
Well, that's a little ways away.
All right, but that's got choices as well. How about these guys? Where are these guys? Come on, give me your address. Tell me your address right now. All right, no, that's actually City of Chicago. So, but yeah, you've got them close enough, and so I would say... try to take a look at that to see if there's something that seems to make sense for you.
Well, I'll go over to the Eisenhower Library because they're very good out there, over there, and they'll help me.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at a review that sounds really good on this one woman, but where is she? How far is Chesterton from you?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. All right. So... I will look further, but look, I would say find one. There will be somebody there. Here's another WebMD. Let's see what they're recommending. Okay. Is Park Ridge near you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, there's a couple in Park Ridge. When they say Chicago, is there any address in Chicago that would be reasonably close to you if it was a Chicago address, or would that all be far away?
North side, northwest side.
Okay. Niles?
Yeah, Park Ridge is pretty close to Park Ridge.
Is Niles close to you?
Yes.
Oak Park? Well, see, I'm coming. Everyone that I'm mentioning. LaGrange Park? How about that?
No, that's way south.
Okay. All right. But so what I've just rattled off are just some of the addresses I'm seeing, or Elmhurst, you know, some of them that'll be far away, but some of them might be close because you just need to work with somebody who, and, you know, I can't tell you that they're necessarily good. You'd have to look at the reviews and all that. But this guy in Park Ridge has... some 5-star ratings, so that might be something to start. So, yeah, I'd look it up. Absolutely. Check them out.
Okay. All right. I'll do that.
All right. So just look for a naturopath near Harwood Heights, and that should, if you get to WebMD, and that's a website, WebMD, they will give you a list that bet you one of these is going to work for you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good deal. Let me know. What?
Yeah, and the other thing, if you have a minute,
yeah.
I used to go to a fellow where my hair under on Higgins Road here, and he had a customer that would come in probably every 6 weeks or so with a little magazine that he published. This man published it, and it was about old time radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you knew of any magazine like that. And I don't know what the Curtis left him with his partner and went to Florida, so that shop's not there anymore.
Yeah,
but, the man used to come probably every 6 weeks or so.
There were
he would drop off a magazine, and Curtis used to let me have it, but in the years that have passed, I don't know where it is.
there were a ton of old-time radio magazines, most of which are online now rather than anywhere else is the problem. So, you know, some of the vintage magazines still exist, but they're not current, of course. But but yeah, I'll look. I'll let you know if I come up with anything, but almost everything I know is online.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. Thanks. Okay. Keep me posted. Let me know how you do about finding a naturopath.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
yes,
thanks.
I will.
All right, good deal.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Just go to the hospital and take things that are really going to be a problem for you. There's advice for you. All right, well, it's what the textbook said, 888-876-5593. You know what time it is? It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
God bless our love. Temptation, for he knows that we have been tempted beyond and above humiliation.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Gene Chandler. Yeah, Bless Our Love, 1964 on Constellation. And it was on this date in 1962 that Gene Chandler was making his debut on American Bandstand. Yeah, of course he was singing Duke of Earl, you know that. All right, but nonetheless, interesting. So, always like to hear Gene. Now, I did a little research there for Rita in Harwood Heights. Hopefully you're still listening, Rita. Nostalgia Digest is still in print. All right, now there may be more, but Nostalgia Digest, it comes out quarterly, so four times a year. It's about 64 pages, and they have it in print as well as digital. And the guy who is the publisher is Steve Darnell, and that name might be familiar to you because on Saturday afternoons he's on WDCB, and he's also on WDCB.org, obviously. And so that's Radio's Golden Age, his vintage show. And he does that. Actually, he's also on the air, I think, on KXEL. How about that? Waterloo. All right. So that's the deal. It is available. And subscriptions for a year, print and digital. Of course, you'll just want to see the print. But $19 for four issues. And the only problem is you got to go to the library, I guess, and get to nostalgiadigest.com to sign up. And you can do that. All right, so there you have it. Now, I've done my homework. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. All right, Jeffrey in Alsip called a while ago. Jeffrey, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Jeffrey. Well, good. We're talking about dinosaurs?
Yeah, I mentioned that there was a dinosaur, or there was a mammal that killed a dinosaur, yeah. And the lava did him in.
Yes.
And I was wondering if that guy ever got any kind of contact with that guy to find out what it was.
I don't know.
You said you knew somebody.
Well, Johnny D, of course, calls all the time, and Johnny might know, but I don't know. So next time Johnny calls, we'll have to ask him. Give me all the facts you have about said dinosaur and said lizard is what he ate, right? Or I think.
Yeah, well, it's just that there was a mammal that surprised the little guy, and the little guy, he was a lizard or a dinosaur, but the mammal killed the dinosaur, which blew me away, and then the lava came and landed on them both, and they dug out the bones out of the rock.
Okay, so the mammal killed the dinosaur. Now I thought there was a lizard involved in this story.
Yeah, it was a lizard, a dinosaur, because it looked a little something like a T-Rex. It was
all right.
But
so,
small.
you're thinking the dinosaur was in the lizard family, but it was a it was a mammal that killed it. And what kind of mammal was it?
I don't know. That's the mystery. It had everything. They found that what they couldn't identify it at the time. They say it had hair. It bore live young. It was warm blooded. That was about it. And so I was wondering.
Okay.
You know, what the
hell it was. All right.
I never heard about it.
I may know about this. Thank you, NPR. This fossil of a mammal biting a dinosaur captures a death battle's final moments. When dinosaurs ruled the Earth, we tend to think of mammals at the time, including our distant ancestors, as small and quivering in the shadows. We've always had this picture of mammals as the literal underdogs. Well, that's according to a paleontologist, that they're being trampled, they're cowering in the darkness at night, they're trying to avoid being eaten. Well, that picture of mammals has sort of been upended now. In the last 20 years, we've started to see that mammals are more diverse in terms of what they did in this period. A remarkable new fossil, here's your fossil, originating in early Cretaceous, I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, some 125 million years ago, now described in the journal Scientific Reports, supports this shifting view. It consists of two intertwined skeletons, an upstart mammal sinking its teeth into a much larger dinosaur. Our best guess is the mammal was in the middle of attacking the dinosaur, and of course, then, you know, the lava came. So, if that's true, that revelation shakes our traditional view of dinosaur domination and mammal submission. So in the case of this particular fossil that was unearthed in modern-day northeast China, this mammal appears to have been particularly gutsy or voracious. So a fossil preserved in stunning detail because of the eruption of the ancient volcano, which caused these sudden lava flows and all that. So often a fossil is a pile of scattered bones. It's rare for a fossil to record behavior like this because a behavior, unlike a bone, tends to leave no trace. Well, but here, the story leaps out. Okay, the dinosaur in question is, I couldn't pronounce this to save my life, Psittacosaurus. All right, the Psittacosaurus, what we call the parrot-beaked dinosaur, because it has a beak much like a parrot for ingesting plant matter. It was about the size of a small to medium-sized dog. In the fossil, the Psittacosaurus, the Smith on its side, its skeleton curled in a semicircle. Tucked up against the dinosaur is a mammal called... hang on a minute. We'll get to the mammal in a moment, but I got to do the news, which is a little more current. Don't go away. Of course, I don't have to do the news, but WGN does. So we'll be back on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, of course, that's Antonio Carlos Jobim, One Note Samba, 1964 on Verve, and in several of his albums later after that, too. He would have been 98. this weekend, on Saturday, actually. Born in 1927 in Rio and died in 1994 in New York. Yeah, cardiac arrest. He was there for a surgery he had had. I think it was bladder cancer, but he was only 67 years old. His sister, who died in 2015, his younger sister, Helena, wrote, and she was a prize-winning poet herself, but wrote an incredible biography of him. I think it was called An Illuminated Man. It was just great. And so if you're a Tom Jobim fan and you want to know more of the backstory, pick it up. Yeah, I couldn't stop reading it when it came out. Just loved it. It's here somewhere. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. Oh, speaking of that, I meant to mention, this was, gosh, months ago now, but I was talking with Fran, actually, about, because we both really like this guy, Dick Feller, and all his stuff, and I discovered that he became Dina K. Rose. That's right, transgender. He wrote a book about it, Some Days Are Diamonds. So I immediately got the book. It was pricey, too, comparatively. But I'll tell you, it's going in the prizes stack. Maybe Fran will get it. But and, yeah, use a screen reader of some sort. But the deal is that it didn't really tell the story. It was a nice book, but it didn't tell any of the juicy details. All right, so with that in mind, we're getting back to dinosaurs, don't you know? And so here we go. So these are very interesting as far as this goes. So are you still with me, Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's continue. Now I got to find this page where my dinosaur was. Let's see. Yeah, I was reading so many other things, but here we go. All right, I've got it. And it's really interesting because, of course, as I'm saying, on the one hand, there are people who are, scientists and stuff who are thinking this shows that the mammal was the aggressor and all of that. There's another side of this, potentially. And so back to our Psittacosaurus, that was the dinosaur, like a badger, and actually like a medium-sized dog. Well, the mammal was a Rapenomammus, and that was about the size of a badger. And the Rapenomammus was about the largest mammal of the day, based on the bones they found to date. It was about a third the size of the Psittacosaurus. And so you got a deal here on this fossil where it looks like the mammal's paws are clutching the dinosaur's lower jaw, one of them, while another paw grips his hind leg and the lower jaw of the mammal is biting onto some of the dinosaur's rib cage. And so that's the story. So, as I say, there are all these people originally said, see, it shows that the mammals were not just timid, they were the aggressors. And then some other scientists said, the jury is out. Is it possible the dinosaur had already died, maybe only recently, or was in a very, very weakened state? Rather than having been hunted down by the mammal could easily overcome it. So we don't know if the mammal was scavenging the dinosaurs. We do know that the bones have no bite marks, and the position of the body suggests there was an active attack in progress, but who knows? So that's normally, we do know, by the way, that mammals did occasionally prey on baby dinosaurs, but what's new here is, of course, a fully grown Psittacosaurus was not necessarily safe from a smaller mammal predator. Now you know.
One more thing, because I think I'm trying to make an alert a little bit to let people aware. I was in the emergency room in Chicago, and I was getting my final treatment, and I was going to leave. Mm-hmm. And a gentleman walked in, and I'm trying to think of a... He came in, and the doctors were talking to him, and they told the guy, they said, I don't know if they're reactive or they're coming back, but I thought I'd make people aware. He had been bitten by a recluse spider.
Oh, no. By the way, and, wait a minute. Let's pop up and say you do not normally find brown recluses in Chicago.
Oh yeah, well I was living in Blue Island, and they were all over Blue
Really?
Island back in '67.
Really? You got bitten?
Yeah, I got bitten, and the thing is that the doctor identified it, but then all of a sudden he said to my mother, he said, "Did you know it laid its eggs in your son's leg?"
Oh, yeah.
And they're alive. Uh-huh. And he was mad at my mother for because you know I was a child, I was 10.
Right, and your mother waited.
Well, you know, I didn't let her know. I was trying to treat it myself.
No.
But what happened was they had to cut it open. They had to cut my leg open.
Right.
And it went down about an inch or so.
Right.
And they removed a honeycomb that was in my leg of babies.
Whoa.
And I thought I'd mention this because those damn things will feed on you if they get into you.
Well, that is possible. But even if it doesn't get to that point, a brown recluse can cause your skin to necrotize and fast. That's why, you know, it's like, oh, my God, she waited. People have lost limbs over this easily.
Well, that's what the doctor told my mother. He was mad as hell.
Oh, sure he was. No, that's limb threatening. Of course it is.
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd mention that because if these things are making a comeback, and I heard the doctor tell him, he says you got bitten by a wickaloo spider, and I thought to myself for a second, and I said, I haven't heard that word in 40, 50 years.
Well, that's interesting. You know? Like I say, I didn't know because they're really prevalent in Arkansas. I mean, it's just you run into them every day.
I'm not doubting it.
But I did not know
when I was in Blue Island when I was a child. And it was all over. They were all over the apartments and houses everywhere.
Oh, man.
And it was a nest of those damn things. And I'm afraid that there might be another outbreak this summer. So I just thought I'd warn people about it.
That's really interesting. Normally the southern two-thirds of Illinois have a history of it. But that's really weird. Normally it's not in Chicago, but obviously I'm not going to argue. You found an area near Chicago, but absolutely it's also called a violin spider if you look at it, but it's something to be aware of. Absolutely. And you get bitten by one of these, you go immediately because your skin can start necrotizing within 24 hours.
Well, I was lucky, I guess.
Yes, you were.
My wound, I remember, was the size of a quarter.
Oh, yeah. And it would have gotten worse.
They had to dig down about an inch and a half into my leg, in the underside of my leg.
Yeah.
But when you're 10 years old, you don't pay attention to that.
Well,
I didn't pay attention, so I fell down.
Right.
My leg gave out.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Right. This is horrible because they truly are necrotic. All right. Well, good to know.
You have a great day.
Yeah, right. A better day than you did. Okay, thanks.
People are aware of it.
Yes. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. And normally it's not, they're not normally not as far as Chicago, the very southern part of Illinois, maybe, but, Arkansas, absolutely, and Missouri and Kentucky. Mississippi to some degree. But yeah, brown recluses are nothing to fool around with. And I remember when I was still doing news in Los Angeles, there was a woman in the Inland Empire. She's in San Bernardino, I think. And she was vacuuming. And the other thing, they're brown recluses because for the most part, they tend to be reclusive. But this woman was vacuuming and she wound up with bites. This woman lost all four limbs and her nose. And I thought it was made the news, obviously. I thought to myself, how long were you ignoring that? You know, that didn't happen overnight, right? But there it was. And of course, you always wonder, whatever happened to her? You never hear follow-up stories on those people. All right, so we have a second-time caller in Scott. And Scott is in Huntington. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Scott?
Well, I forgot the lady. Her name, the one that had the UTI quite a while ago.
Rita in Harwood Heights.
Right, I thought that's what her name was. Now, she was mentioned to you about she had an old radio that she wanted to try to get repaired.
No, I don't think so. What she wanted, she was interested in the old-time radio show journals. It wasn't a radio itself. Now, last week we had Sally from Peoria who was looking to find her old 1956 Motorola. It was red, and I think we did find that. I think it's a Motorola Rota 10 or 56 L2A. No, she was not. Rita was not trying to fix the radio. She just wanted the magazine.
Well, that other lady that had the Motorola, yeah. I know a guy that advertises on WLW out of Cincinnati. I get that here where I live.
Of course you do.
I get a lot of stuff up here where I live.
Yeah.
And his name is, he's on the north side of Indianapolis in Claremont, Indiana, near the Speedway.
Uh-huh.
And it's called oldradiorick.net.
Huh, okay.
And he repairs anything that has tubes, those old ones from back in the 30s, the 20s, the 40s.
All right, I just tried old radio Nick. Rick.
Rick.
R-I-C-K. Rick.com.
.net.
.net. All right, so let's go to .net. Let's see how I can screw this up. Six ways to Sunday.
See if it's up there.
I'm doing right now. No, it says Safari can't find the server. Old radio Rick. Can't find it. .net.
Well, what the heck is Old Radio Rick? It's not .com. Let's see what would be another one.
Okay. Well, he's got a Facebook page, for one thing. Let's see if the Facebook page shows any website associated with it. Sometimes they do. Okay. No, they have his email address, and he's got a Facebook page. He said, I'm known as Old Radio Rick, and I restore antique and vintage radios. I offer pickup and delivery in Indianapolis and Cincinnati.
That's it.
Yeah. So that's the deal, Old Radio Rick.
He does a fantastic job, man.
All right. Well, good deal.
I don't
know
what it costs. You can.
Well, it depends what's wrong with it, obviously.
Yeah. You know. Well.
Good deal. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
thanks.
I've been listening to him for the station at, you know, sometimes he calls in on Saturday morning, and. You know, talks about different radios that he's repaired, but he has hundreds of them, maybe even thousands of them in the basement. He repairs anything and everything about them, tubes, cords, paperwork, speakers.
All right.
So anyway, I just want to tell you, since I've talked to you, I listen to a lot of people on there that they claim they've lost their vision, they're blind or close to it. I, too, am losing mine.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, I've been to see the best doctors in the state down in Indianapolis and some in Fort Wayne, and nothing I can do about it.
What is it? Is it like wet AMD or something?
No, it's RP, retinitis pigmentosa.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to make adjustments. I'm married. That's one nice thing. I've been married one year shy of 50, so my wife helps me a lot. But wow, man, it's.
It's tough, absolutely, because what's happening, obviously, the cells in the retina are breaking down slowly.
My cameras are going away.
Yeah.
That's retina.
Yeah, of course it is. But here's the deal. It's great you have your wife, but while you still have some semblance of vision left, are you learning as far as adaptability and how to get tools that will allow you to still surf the net and do everything else you want to do?
Well, I haven't done anything on the computer. I'm getting ready to get a phone this spring. I'm going to have a guy from the League of the Blind in Allen County in Fort Wayne.
Okay.
He's going to come out here and show me how to use, I guess, a smartphone.
Well,
I don't know much about it.
Right. What you want to do is learn all of the adaptability devices and apps that you can get. Some are some are inherent in the phone itself, but some you'll want to add on because you want to be set up and going before you lose all your vision.
Right. Well, he did tell us about the apps. My wife wrote some of them down.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's really changed a lot because I like to garden and hunt and fish and camp and all that.
Oh, absolutely!
No, eliminate that. But
it's a game changer.
And yeah, but I've with being with my wife and all for this long, I've learned that I have to adapt. I can't cry about it. I got to keep moving.
Right, you're 100% right. And, you know, even at the worst of times, something good can come out of it. And you may wind up picking up some things you never thought about doing or you never thought would interest you that are just terrific. So all is not lost.
Right. Well, I garden a lot. So I've come up with a lot of things that help me myself. Like when I go out and about here on the farm, I've got a 80-acre farm. I've been lost three or four times. I had to have the cops come find me.
Well, you know, the first thing I did was pulled up an article tipped from an experienced gardener who's blind.
Right.
And he's got an entire article on what he can do and what anyone who is blind can do. And then there's another article I saw, Gardening When Blind or Visually Impaired. That's on thrive.org.uk. And there's a lot of tips there. And so Wisconsin Council for the Blind has an article on it. I have a feeling that if you can get online, that there are many, I won't say hundreds or thousands, but there it is not uncommon that you'll find a blind person who's gardening. So you may not give that up.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they got this, my one friend down at Huntington that I've talked to some, he's been blind from birth, but he told me that some of these phones have GPS on them.
Of course, they all have GPS on them.
Oh, well, yeah, I've learned to count my steps walking around right out here on the farm and,
right,
and in my yard. I've got, like, radios I play. Of course,
uh-huh,
in this weather we got, I'm not playing them out there, but it lets me know where I'm at. But
yeah,
I've been doing pretty good other than, you know, I just got to...
Okay.
So anyway,
all right.
Well, that's probably it.
Well, good to know. Keep me posted, and good luck.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wanted to tell you, I got one of those machines from the state, the program I was in with the state of Indiana. It, you know, mm-hmm, one of those that talk back to you when you put something under them to read?
Yes.
I forget the name of that one, but that cost $4,000, but the state paid for that.
Good.
But that really helps me a lot to
I'll
read
bet.
Magazines and see catalogs and all, but... You would be surprised if you really think about what you're doing before you do it by putting markers on the ground.
Uh-huh.
Like, I plant my own seeds. I made more money. I was a carpenter for 30 years,
mm-hmm,
in Fort Wayne. I made more money at the farmer's market growing my own vegetables than I did work.
That's great.
But, I mean, I have a way of planting my own seeds. I buy all my soil, not potting soil and stuff like,
mm-hmm,
that. I buy professional mix from certain places I deal with. But,
okay,
yeah, I can grow the best from eggplant to cucumbers and kinds of tomatoes. And
so you will continue to do that. You'll just learn some.
Yeah, I plan on
it
every year. But,
all right.
Yeah, well.
Sounds good.
Yeah, okay. I just thought I'd call in about that radio, and thank you.
Glad you did. Call me again. Appreciate it.
Alrighty, bye.
All right. So, I see Adam is a first-time caller. Adam, please don't go away. And he's in Georgia. He's in Powder Springs. All right, good deal. We're going to go to the news, so it'll be silent at your end for a few minutes. But we'll be back to Adam next. And then we got Eduardo and Tubby and Laura and Jim. And if not, there's always next week. Coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Of course, that's Etta James. Strange Things Happen, 1960 on Ace. And actually, she wrote that, but she was really changing the words to a gospel song that Sister Rosetta Tharpe had written, Strange Things Happen. So there you have it. A fine song it is. She would have turned 87 this weekend. born in 1938 in Los Angeles, died in 2012, 5 days before her 74th birthday in the Inland Empire in Riverside, California. It was leukemia. But the fact that she made it to 74 was amazing, considering she had been addicted to heroin and God knows what else and all that. It certainly abused her body, but ultimately, 74 years, not bad. All right, so Adam is a first-time caller, if he's still with us, and I hope so. Welcome to WGN Radio, Adam.
Hey, Raleigh, good to talk to you. You guys come in like gangbusters down here in Georgia at night.
Well, good.
But I found your show a couple weeks ago, and you have a very interesting voice. And the people that are calling in is just a wide variety of topics, and I just enjoyed listening to your show.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to pass on to you a song I heard the other day. I don't know if you've heard of an artist by the name of Tom Russell.
Yeah, Americana music. I think Cielo de or something. Gallo de Cielo. He wrote about the horse.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But they played a song down here on the radio the other day called "Who's Gonna Build Your Wall."
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I think it was done in the early 2000s.
Right.
It's just an amazing foresight that he had about our current situation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And of course, he lived in Texas for a while, too. So he knew firsthand. But yeah, he's an interesting sort all the way around, originally from Los Angeles, but kicked around everywhere, including Texas. And he wrote a lot of stuff. I mean, everybody from Johnny Cash to, the Sir Douglas Quintet have done Tom Russell records.
Oh, so. What did they do? Something Mendocino?
I don't think so. I don't remember. It was an album cut. But I could probably find it if I looked, but yeah, a bunch of things. He's also a painter. He's an author. He wrote a detective novel, and I think it only sold like in Scandinavia or something. And I don't have the particulars on how that happened, but, I know that, that was the case. So yeah, he was, an interesting guy all the way around. He was in San Francisco for a while, you know, and New York City and all that. So yeah.
Well, it's just a hoot. I just had to pass that along.
Yes, absolutely. I'll play it next week. I will. Absolutely. I think I've got it on this computer, so we can do that.
Well, I'll be tuning through, listening for you guys.
But, oh,
terrific. Hey, good work.
Okay, so now tell me about you. I know where Powder Springs is. You're in Cobb County, but are you originally from the Atlanta area?
Well, almost. I grew up in Florida, but moved down here after college. And
Where in Florida?
Sarasota.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, Sarasota, with the distinction of having the oldest population in America.
Oh, does it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, in terms of demographics, and it may have changed by now, but that was always Sarasota's claim to fame, that their median age was always the oldest in America.
That's a good thing I'm not down there
right,
now. I'd
right.
probably bump up their age a little bit more.
Oh, man. So you're right. We all would at this point. So you went to Georgia, and what have you been doing? What'd you do?
Oh, I worked up here there's a satellite station out in Douglasville that we used to do TBS Superstation out of it. And I think WGN was a superstation,
yes,
too, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. WGN, WOR, and TBN, or whatever they call TBS, I should say. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I remember, before it was really a superstation, when TBS was just in the South, I used to love when I'd be driving through town, like on I-75 or something, if I was staying for the night, Bill Tush's news at night. I adored that.
Oh, I was on one of his episodes playing piano in the corner.
Oh, that's great. It was the best news. Best news ever. And I know that when they started CNN, they thought, well, we can't do this anymore, but they should have. I mean, that was the best ever.
Does WGN have any quad tape decks left? 2-inch, videotape
decks? No, I know exactly. I don't know. Around here, I've got 1-inch, but I don't have any 2-inches.
Right.
Yeah, I've got a few 1-inch reel-to-reels.
Because I have an old, I still have an hour, I have an hour-long Chattahoochee River Raft Race program that Bill Tush hosted. But I don't know anybody that's got tape decks
Well, and that's the problem. If you remember when they came out, they're just huge. I mean, you have to have a whole wall for the damn thing, you know. Adam says they have them. Adam says they have them. All right, Adam's in master control at GN. He says yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, if Adam wants to pass me his number offline, I'll send him a 2-inch tape he can keep.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yes, and maybe to return the favor, he can turn it into a format that the rest of us can see.
Oh, yeah. If he can, yes.
All right, well,
absolutely.
Let me put you on hold and get your phone number, and then I'll talk to Adam and see what we can do about that.
All right.
So glad you called.
Hey. Yeah, thanks. And keep up the good work.
I just sit here talking. And we just, have a good time being apolitical. It's kind of like Herb Jepko. But, I know you remember the nightcap. So, all right. So call me again and don't go away. All right. So we'll get your number.
All right. Thanks.
Good deal. So how nice to meet Adam. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Well, I should not be giving out the phone number. I've got 14 minutes of showtime left. This is not going to work. Eduardo's been waiting forever unless he went to sleep. Are you still there, Eduardo? No, Eduardo hung it up for the night. And so we'll talk about Safe Deposit Box next week. I hope he heard his request. We played that at the beginning of the show. But let's see. What do we have? Laura in Willowbrook. Hello, Laura.
Hey, Raleigh. Oh, my gosh. That story with the guy and the spider, that was amazing.
Oh God. I know. Oh, man. And
It was creeping me out, but it was amazing.
Yeah. And then it laid eggs. Oh, God.
I know. It's like, ooh, I didn't know there was such a spider. Oh, my gosh. That was icky.
I didn't know about the laying the eggs part, but really, it's the spider to fear more than any other because it necrotizes so fast.
Yes. Well, this wasn't what I was calling about. But it's funny you mentioned spiders because I always thought Texas, everybody in Texas, their boots is their thing. And I always thought, oh, boots is their thing because it's like, oh, cool, cowboy boots, riding a horse. No, my brother says the reason that everybody wears cowboy boots is the damn spiders are all over the place.
Oh, God.
So I was like, they're just afraid of the spiders. They climb the trees. I'm like, spiders climb trees? I'm like,
well,
oh my gosh.
Well, sure they're going to do that. And yeah, brown recluses, like I say, they'll lay these egg sacs, which is what the guy was talking about. But the reality, like I say, they're so necrotic that, you know, the eggs are going to be your secondary problem.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for that information. And real quick, the reason that I really called is I don't know what's going on, but I have the weirdest things happening to me these days. I went, to a gas station today, and I went to the inside store. I wanted to go to buy some lottery tickets, use the restroom and such. So I walk in, and I always look around no matter what, even if I'm just going to use the bathroom after getting gas. And I'm walking around, and the cashier says, oh, can I help you? I says, oh, I'm just looking around. I says, I'm going to buy some lottery tickets and all that. So I go to the restroom, and I'm looking at the counter of candy bars and things.
Yeah.
And then, so I go to the restroom. I come back out, and I didn't buy anything. I didn't like the lottery tickets, so I start to put my gloves on and put them in my pocket, and I start to walk away with nothing. I didn't buy anything. He says, excuse me, can I help you? I says, I told you I'm just here to look. I'm not buying anything. I paid for my gas. He says, well, are you buying anything? I says, I just said, no, I'm not buying anything. He says, well, you've been looking around at that half price table. You sure you don't want anything? And I thought, I think this guy thinks I'm trying to steal something.
Oh, geez.
Because I went to the bathroom, I walked out, I didn't buy anything, and I almost wanted to yell at him, but I finally says, you want to frisk me? I says, I'm not stealing anything. And I wanted to say, mister, if I took my hat off, you'd realize I'm 65. You really think I'm stealing something from this place? I was so mad. Oh, gosh, I couldn't believe it.
Oh wow.
So anyway, that was my wild experience, but goodness, I bought gas and didn't buy anything. I guess next time I better buy something.
No, that well, find another place to shop.
Well, there you go. That's the best place to get back at them, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Just there's plenty of places to buy gas.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
All
well,
right.
Thanks,
Good
Riley.
Deal. Thanks. Thanks
Have
for
a great
calling.
Night.
Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye.
So 888-876-5593. All right. So I give that number out by rote, obviously, and there's absolutely no reason for me to be saying this now, because if you're not online and waiting, you're not getting in tonight. All right. Eduardo called back though. All right, Eduardo, you're awake. You're alive. So tell me about the safe deposit box.
Yeah, Riley. So I saw this story where I saw this was in L.A. near the fires, and they were talking about because it had melted. And apparently you have to get separate insurance because apparently that stuff's not going to be covered. I don't know. What do you think about some,
well, tell me this again. Separate insurance for what?
Yeah, so over there where they're having the fires,
yeah,
I saw a bank that had burned down.
Right.
And they were checking out some of the safety deposit boxes, and they're talking about how some of that stuff is not going to be covered because they don't have special insurance for that. I know.
Well,
I don't know if that's true or not.
That is interesting. Obviously, you won't necessarily have fire coverage on a standard policy if you're in certain areas. They'll exclude that. But the real question is here is, and it's in the agreement. When you have a safe deposit box, they'll give you the agreement, obviously, that says what the rules are. And it has to disclose. And so in the event of that type of a catastrophic situation, what are they liable? Because you normally think, well, a safe can survive anything, including a fire. But I would have to see what the agreement was as far as that goes. I'm not a big fan of safe deposit boxes for a lot of reasons, but. You know, I know a lot of people use them, and they have certain expectations that may or may not be met.
Right.
I'd want to know. But it's also odd. You've seen those vaults. They're pretty much impenetrable, and you don't expect them to be melted down in your average fire. So I don't know. But so that's on the news that people are wondering.
Probably did, yeah.
Wow. Well. Interesting. I will try to look that up to see what the coverage is, and you know, Bank of America and all those.
Yeah, that would be curious to know. Yeah.
Yeah, and find out in that event, because the other thing, of course, is that depending on what you're putting in there, you may not be insuring it. And then the other thing is, even if you are insuring it, it's not in the dwelling that you are insuring. So how much, you know, stuff apart from the dwelling is covered, because that's an issue too. So, yeah, boy, that'd be bad if somebody's SOL. I don't know, but I'll find out.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for the request, and no update yet. I got to call back tomorrow as far as Teresa.
Okay.
But I'll let you know next week if there's anything tomorrow.
Yes, please do. And meanwhile, I will let you know on Tuesday what it is about the safe deposit box, because that's very interesting to me. I'll find out. All right, thanks.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you, Riley. Okay, have a good weekend. Okay.
You too. So 888-87. No, there I am again. You know, I'll tell you, bad habits. All right, we're going to get to Tubby. We're going to get to Jim, I hope. And if not, well, there's next week. Right now, we're going to get to this on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, only got a couple minutes left, but Eduardo, I've got your answer. The contents are not insured. FDIC defines a safe deposit box as a storage space provided by the bank. Any contents inside are not insured by FDIC if they're damaged or stolen. Unfortunately, most if not all financial institutions do not insure the contents either. While the boxes tend to be fire resistant, they're not fireproof. So the bottom line is that you're basically SOL. A lot of banks are discontinuing safe deposit boxes because people are looking for alternative ways to store, including home safes and things of that nature. So the safe deposit box era is somewhat ending. And I'll tell you what, if we hear stories about these California fires, are people in a situation where they've lost everything, you'll see them going out even faster, I would think. So the contents are not insured, period. And your own insurer will not insure them either. All right. Normally in your policy, you've got X number of percent that you can use if you store things off, you know, off site. It's not that big a percent and it wouldn't be covered. Man, that's going to be a real interesting story, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who have used them. I guess not. 888-87. Nope. I'm not even not. Never mind that. Chubby in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio. Chubby.
Hello.
There you are.
Yeah. I'm here.
All right.
This happens to me every Thursday. Okay, I got 1 minute. Or should I succeed my time to
No. You've actually got 3 minutes. Go for it.
Okay. Number one, I called because you all were talking about McCarthy. What I got, I watched that show several times on WTTW, and I found there were so many characters. There were layers of stories.
Oh, yeah.
And what I had, you know what I got from it? I'm going to see if you agree or disagree. And we don't have no dissertation time tonight. But I got that he wanted to come out to the microphones. Like I was saying about that girl, he was waiting to get on. He liked the notoriety of the whole thing.
Mm.
And how many lives did he go through doing that?
Mm.
That selfish move. That's what I got from it.
Okay.
Okay, that's that thing. Number two, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. I was getting flowers for Shirley Chisholm, and I stood on a moat. You know the little moats in the plaza where you park your car?
Yes.
Fire engine red ants. Y'all, this is all your fault. Y'all brought this stuff up. And by the time I got to the house, I looked in the mirror. You know that movie with Cher with the little guy with the face that was all messed up? That's what my face looked like. I called the emergency room. When I got there, they threw me in a wheelchair and had 3 needles waiting for me. I almost died from fire engine red ants.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
And if I hadn't looked in the mirror, I would have missed it. And
no, believe me, I know, you know, in Florida, I know that. In fact, it's a true story.
I know you know that.
Yeah, and so I was out on a date. It was the first time I ever had been out with this individual. And there I was. I worked at WQAM, which had a parking lot, and it was right by a lot of these pine trees and stuff like that. And I'm by my car, and I'm with this guy. And all of a sudden, the red ants had crawled up into my pants. And so,
oh my God!
I start screaming, ants in my pants, and oh God! And I'm ripping my clothes off, and you know, right. Needless to say, I never was willing to go out with this guy again. It was there's just no way. But
it was,
yeah.
Not the ants made you. Oh my God! The music was impeccable tonight.
Oh, good.
When you started out with what's his name, then you went to Joe B. I'm like, there goes, she got my ticket tonight. And I was not feeling well at all.
Oh.
But I couldn't forfeit the show because I opened up a can of chicken, cream and chicken soup and ate half of it. I'm going to sign off. Look,
all right. Good to talk to you, Tubby. Thank you.
Have a nice week here.
Okay, you too. All right. So, yes, rest in peace, Jumpin' Jack O'Brien. That was the guy's name. He had a kiddie show and he was a weather guy or a sports guy or one of those things. But no, there was never a second date. It's like ants in my pants. Yeah, well, Jim in New Hampshire, you've got about 30 seconds.
I remember the first time I heard you tell that story. I was literally on the floor.
Oh, yeah. you know, it was so true. And, yeah, there was no way. And I would, wow. You know, that's right. It was one of the three times I was accidentally nude in Dade County, Florida. Yes, exactly.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But there's a few things I want to mention next week about one of the first times I actually heard Neil Rogers on WLAC.
Uh-huh.
And I could not believe it. I was
He was counting on that. All right, so we'll talk. Yeah. We will talk about that. Yes, 7 to 10 p.m. We will talk about that next week. Call me. Looking forward to it.
You betcha.
Okay, good.
You betcha.
All right, on that note, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. So do it again next week. Tomorrow night, it's a replay of Monday Night Trivia. Next Monday, it's a live show, 3 big hours. I'll talk to you then. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.